All right, we are recording. Oh my God, welcome back. Welcome back to Shamecast, a show about...
That isn't even appropriate anymore.
Welcome back, everybody. We like to leave you hanging for 14 months and then come back.
That's how, I mean, we promised chaos, we deliver. It's true.
So, yeah. Wow. Wow. It's been a long time. There's so much that has happened.
Do you think anyone sent us any emails?
I don't know. I don't have, I don't know. You gotta check that. You have the email access still, right?
I'm gonna check it right now. You keep talking.
Okay. So welcome back, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's so much that's happened. I don't even know where to start. So we're going to be a little all over the place.
You just
today.
Said welcome back like three times also.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start, everybody. See, right, I got to get into form. This episode might suck. The welcome back episode might be a really shitty welcome back episode.
We don't know. I mean, I don't remember how to be a human anymore.
So we're going to try to win. Actually, that's not necessarily true, but we're going to get into all that stuff. We got a lot to get into. I'm coming at you from a new location. I am, I'm at my mom's house with a whole new family. But things are good right now. I don't know. They're not good. Things are actually chaotic in the world right now, but things.
Once again, in the global picture of things, they're terrible.
Yes.
Which is basically the same as when we left off. So nothing's changed. So I opened our email.
Ooh, what we got?
It's a lot of junk.
No fan mail?
No. Yeah, a lot of this is also like phishing emails where it says, received your payment confirmation.
And that's phishing with a PH, for the record. That's a PH phishing. But different stuff. It is though, right?
God,
isn't that how you spell that? Isn't it? Or is it with an F?
Yeah.
It's PH, right?
And still, I don't love it.
In my notes for today's show, I have fish in caps with an exclamation point. There's so much big fish news. They had such a big year. We'll get back to that.
We are not. We're not fish cast. I'm sure there's a fish cast. Is there a fish
lots
cast?
Of fish podcasts. But there's not one called fish cast. Oh my God. But there are fish podcasts.
Are you sure?
I'm not. I don't.
Yeah. I think there's one.
I think we
fish
both
cast.
Know. I don't listen to podcasts.
So there's no actual emails.
So
here.
Should we address that first? This is
no
really sad, everybody.
Us.
I don't. We were going to come back.
Yeah.
If there was one fan email, we were going to come back. That's why we waited this long. We were just waiting for one.
Yeah.
One piece of fan
and we didn't
mail
get it.
To say please come back, but we thought nobody cared, so we didn't come back for 14 months.
So you have like a gajillion things that you could talk about.
Yes. It's been, and I'm going to try to stay as like on track as I can. I'm going to try not to fuck up the timelines here, but I'm backing up big time. You know, last time we recorded was last March.
Yeah.
So March of 2021. So let's back up to there. So March of 2021, I had been out of rehab for about a month.
Right.
And so let me back up a little bit. This reboot right now, I think, is the effect of you and I going back through Shamecast. Like you and I went back and listened to tons of Shamecast. And I've always been proud of our show. And I've always thought it was funny. And I've always like really looked forward to it. And it's a really good creative outlet for me. And I love to talk and like all these things about it. And I love it. And I've always thought it was funny. And I've always loved it. But listening back, I realized how fucking good it was. I was like, it's good. Like, it's not just like me being an asshole. It's not my ego. It's not, maybe it's a little bit of all that stuff, but it's good. And some episodes in particular, I was like, this is such a good episode. You know, not like I didn't remember them, but some of them are just like fantastic.
Yeah, I felt that way too.
And I didn't know what our deal was. Like, you and I haven't really talked, and a lot of stuff has happened. Where, you know, there's a lot of, connections to you and I that have been disrupted, we'll say, which I'll get into. Put it mildly, some connections have been disrupted. So I didn't know, and me being me, I think I reached out to you once when I was like drunk and was like, hey, we should like record, everything's fucked up. So that was like my way of reaching out, which is no good. You were probably like, I'm going to let this fire blow out for a little while.
That's exactly right. Because I was nervous.
I figured we were probably okay, but it was going to take a little time to even talk about this or even have this conversation.
Yeah.
So it's taken a long time to have this conversation, and here we finally are. Mm-hmm. So the last two episodes, I'm talking about how like everything is good and everything is figured out, and I am like invested in my program, and I am sober, and I'm not smoking anything, and I'm not drinking anything, and I'm not putting anything on my tongue and like or up my nose or anywhere. I just, you know, clean, sober, know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you were 100% up in that pink cloud.
And it was a big, steeping pile of bullshit. And it wasn't really, but I thought, I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing as per usual. And I thought I was saying all the right things and doing all the right things. And then I started to get bored. I'll just call it what it is. I started to get bored.
That's it.
So it's right around late March, early April. I'm bored and I'm up to my same old bullshit again. And I'm like, I'm bored. My brain is bored. I can't smoke weed. I can't drink. I can't do anything fun. And I'm bored with my program and I'm bored with my AA people and I'm bored with my wife and I'm bored with my family and I'm just bored. So what do I do when I'm bored? I create my own excitement. So April-ish, Spencer and I were house sitting and we went for a drive one morning and we got into this like bullshit argument like we always do. And we were both just like, you know what? We need more time. This is just not fucking working right now. You know, she's like, I'm not happy. And I was like, I'm not fucking happy either. We were just like, this sucks. We like, you know, I thought I could go into rehab, get clean, fix my life, save my marriage, you know, all those things. I just thought if I could do all those things, I would get my old life back and I'd be sober. So it would be different. Mm-hmm. And there's more, there's actually work involved. Ugh. So I didn't want to do any of the work. As per usual, I did not want to do any of the work and I didn't do any of the work. And I started to do all kinds of other things. So Spencer and I decide to separate again. We haven't put a date on it. We don't decide when anybody's going to move out, who's going to move out, what we're going to do, who's going to look for a new apartment. We've just decided we probably need to separate for 6 months kind of thing. And maybe this is over. We don't know. Now, the problem is, my brain takes information like that as like, I'm single now. You know, we have a conversation about how we're going to separate and talk about this and move out. And maybe down the line, we'll date other people. And who knows? Maybe we just needed some time. Maybe we just needed some different experiences. And maybe we'll put it back together someday, but not right now. So I take this as like, single man. So I right away.
Damn, just right out the gate, huh?
Kind of reaching out a little bit, you know, and then I find this person who doesn't live here in another state, some artist on Instagram, and I become obsessed and fixated, and this becomes my new thing. And I like sort of walked around the truth for a little bit. You know, I was like, hey.
Yep.
There's this artist that I'm really like interested in. I'm going to go have a phone conversation with this person. Real casual. Like we were going to talk about fucking art, you know, like we're just going to go fucking have an art conversation. That's what I'd do.
Sure.
Let me tell you, I'm an artist. I never sit around talking about art to people. Never. Almost never. So I'm talking to this person and it like escalates quickly, which is like my thing. I know how to, you know, take it from zero to intense fast. So here's, you know me, okay? So this is what I get from this person. I've never really loved anybody before. I've never felt I do about you before. I want you to come out here and be my life. I want you to. And this is like 2 weeks into us talking or something.
Yikes, Arama. Absolutely.
But I love it. So I eat it up.
Of course.
About it. So I decide I'm going to have an honest conversation with Spencer about everything. Fuck it. We're separating anyway. I'm just going to talk to her. And in my mind, I'm doing everything right. This is how delusional I can be. So I pick her up from work one day and we're driving back. And I was like, so the other day how we were talking about like, you know, like how exciting it might be to like date other people eventually. That girl that I'm talking to, I'm going to see her in a couple weeks. She's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, the girl that I'm talking to, like the artist, like she's going to come to Philly in a couple of weeks and I'm going to like see her. This is what I say. Like, it's no big deal. Like, no big deal. Like, so what? I thought we were breaking up anyway. Why can't I go on a date? So, of course, Spencer's like, I want to see who this person is right now.
Sure.
So I pull up Instagram and I show her this person and she has a terrible reaction, just a terrible, terrible reaction. And it's like, oh my God, I thought it was somebody else. I can't believe it's this person. And we get into this fight where we tell each other every terrible thing we've ever done while we were together. Every fucking terrible thing.
No.
I did this. I did that. We're back and forth with just this like ball of stuff that none of us know about because we're both sneaky little motherfuckers. And I'm terrible. I'm not trying to blame Spencer. Spencer was a wonderful person. She did everything she could for me. This all this girl wanted was for me to be okay. It's all she ever wanted. And I couldn't be okay, and I couldn't be happy, and it couldn't be enough. And just, I always wanted something else, and I always wanted to know what else was out there for me. And always, I just always wanted something different or something else, or just, it was never enough. Love was never enough, kind of thing. But we're both sneaky little fuckers, you know? Yeah. And so when all that sneakiness comes out and we talk about this stuff, it got ugly. So it goes from that to we're both kind of, you know, sad at the end of the night. It was a rough night. It was like, ugh, it's a lot of ugly stuff. I turn into the mad person. I'm mad now because I've heard all these things that I didn't know. And I'm mad. How dare you? How could you do that to me? How dare you?
God.
Which is such man bullshit. Let me just add some, that's dude stuff right there. It's not hard to talk about. It's just weird to talk about because all these things happen and it feels like what I'm talking about right now last April was 10 years ago. It feels like it happened 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was shitty and I ended up seeing this other person and it did not go well. I met up with this person in Philly and I am all talk. Let me just tell you, I'm all talk, especially about I have never in my life, like, just fuck somebody. Never in my life. I have to be comfortable. I have to be, I have to feel safe. I have to know the person. I do not just have casual sex. I just don't.
Yeah.
I know I act like I do, or you might think that I do, or I give that vibe that I do, but I do not. Can't. Yeah. Just physically cannot. When I met up with this person, there was all this pressure and I was I couldn't perform. I could not. Perform. And it was horrible. And it's so embarrassing and so shaming. And then this person is like, oh, it's me. This has never happened to me before. It must be because you don't find me attractive.
That was her reaction?
Yes. It was awful. So I had this horrible, horrible night of being like, no. Oh my God, why can't I just fuck like a regular person? Why does it have to be so weird? Why do I have to be so uncomfortable? Why can't I just fucking have sex like a regular? Why can't I just do that? Why can't I just fuck this girl? And I couldn't. And it was terrible. And I had this horrible shaming experience. And I get home and it's terrible and I'm sad. And who do I call and tell about it? Spencer, because I have no boundaries. God. I don't have any boundaries. So I'm like, oh my God. Let me back up. I lied to her at first because she was like, she went out on a date that night too. And I was like, oh yeah, I did this and I did this and blah, blah, blah. All bullshit just to make her mad.
Oh, so you told her that you... Oh,
I told her that I did, a lot, a bunch of times, it was great, blah, blah, blah. I'm the worst. And then 2 days later, I call her, and I'm crying, and I'm I lied. I didn't do anything. I can't even do anything. My life is probably ruined. I probably am never going to be able to have sex again.
Wow.
So it was terrible. And then the next day, my dad dropped dead. My dad died the day after that happened. Out of nowhere, my dad had cancer and was just finished his treatment. And they were literally any day now you're going to start feeling better. And he literally fucking dropped dead that night. So it was very unexpected. And I won't get too much into that right now. But it was a thing. My dad and I were very close. We were best friends. And my dad and my mom have been together since 1974. And they are they've been together for 100 years and my mom lost her everything. And it's just, and I thought I was okay. When all this happened, I was I'm okay. And I was still going to AA every day. And I'm talking at meetings my dad died today, but I'm okay because I'm strong. And I feel like I made peace with it before. And and I give this perfect eulogy at the funeral and I'm okay. And there was it was my 5 months, the day of his funeral. And I gave this awesome eulogy. And I'm like, today's my 5 month anniversary. And my life is good. And I miss my dad, but it's all good. And then 2 days later, I relapse. Out of nowhere, I just fucking pick up a drink again. And it's horrible. I had this horrible fucking 5 day stretch of time that's darker than any period of my time has ever been. Any drinking or relapse stretch has always been terrible. This was the darkest of the dark. And I almost died. And I won't get into details. I was in a bad, bad place. So I pick up on June 3rd of last year. It was right after having 5 months. I got into a fight with the girl I was talking to, whose name I won't even say. And then I was all I needed was an excuse. And stuff was really weird with this girl. And when my dad died, she was I want to come out for the funeral. And I was
I heard about that.
No. You know, yeah. And she was like, why won't you let me be there for it? I was just like, if nothing else, it's just like fucking weird. I haven't even explained this to my family. I mean, I can't like have some other. They're like, wait, where's Spencer? Like, nobody even knows. Her dad died like 6 months before that. So all these things that happened to me, literally, I got weirdly sucked into exactly what I'm good at doing to people. God, like it happened. And I won't be like, oh my God, this thing happened to me and I wasn't ready for it because I'm a smart person and I'm a manipulative fuck and I know this stuff. But it happened to me. So it starts with at the funeral, I get back and everything's okay. And I go to call her and she's like, I can't believe that you had your wife there. And like, you've obviously made your decision and I don't want to talk to you. This is the day of my dad's funeral. She blocks me off everything. She blocks my number. She blocks me off social media. She disappears. And I'm like, I have this like panic. Like I'm like freaking out and don't know what to do. And then she like comes back like 10 minutes later. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, whoa, this is, and I have no idea because I'm in the middle of my own stuff, you know, with my dad. And she's saying stuff like, I think I can talk to your dad. You know, she's like a death doula. So she thinks she can like communicate with him. Like all this weird. That's not what
being a death doula is about.
I don't know what it means either. So I was like, okay. But just weird stuff like that. So like, you know. The stress of like going away and then coming back and being like, okay, everything's okay. I just want you to come out here. This is like, I just want you to come out here. I renewed my lease. Come live out here. Come and live with me.
She's in Chicago?
Somewhere in that area out in Illinois and has a 4-year-old son also, which I forgot to mention. So she has a 4-year-old son and she's my age, this girl. I've never dated anyone my age. I'm like, oh, maybe it's time I date someone my age. right? Just that. That would have fixed everything. So I decide, especially once I relapsed and I went back to rehab and like my insurance didn't really cover it. So I was there for like 8 days or something, time I was there, I was miserable because I'm in rehab this time. And I'm like, when I get out of here, it's not like last time where I'm like, I get to try and fix my life. I was like, when I get out of here, my life is still fucked, fucked. So it was ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. I really feel like, the return trips to rehab can be so hard for folks. It's so disheartening often and so discouraging.
And that wasn't it. It wasn't like I was, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I have to do this again. I just knew there was no carrot at the end. You know, there's no carrot on the stick for me. I got nothing when I get out of here. Yeah.
Usually it's the outside that's gotten worse. And that's what's so hard about it is like, oh, fuck, I got to go back to my fucked up life after this.
How do you fix it? Yeah. I had it made when I got out the first time. Everything was like literally set up for me to, you know, do what I was supposed to do and fix my life. And it just didn't work out that way. And it's more complicated than that. You know, there was, you know, all kinds of stuff there. So anyway, let me back up a tiny bit before I went to rehab. So during that relapse that weekend, this is June 3rd, I think it was a Thursday. So 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. I think I drank those days. Mm-hmm. So June 3rd, which is day 2 of my relapse, I have a art show in Arden, like an outdoor art show. And I'm a fucking mess. And I call my friend Kelly and I'm like, hey, I'm separated again. Do you want to like come over here and like help me with my art show? And this is a bad introduction to Kelly, who is someone I've known for a few years. She was a regular at my coffee shop. She's like mutual friends with a lot of people that I know. She's a big fan of my art. She's a big fan of Shamecast. And I have her come over and the whole time I'm just like talking to this other girl and I like pretty much leave her alone at my art table to sell art for me while I can deal with this other thing that I have going on while also telling her that I don't have anything going on. Then I'm talking to my brother. So I'm like drunk and lying and taking weird phone calls and disappearing. And then my mom shows up at the show and I have my giant orange vodjuska on the table, just like a screwdriver.
Vodjuska?
Orange vodjuska. And my mom away looks at me. It's from The Office.
Oh, damn it. Damn it!
Sorry.
Back to your old tricks.
She goes, what are you drinking? And I was like, juice, I say, in a glass of ice.
Oh, yikes.
She picks it up and she smells it and she gives me this look. And she knows, but she doesn't want to get into it, so she just leaves. And I'm like, okay, I think I dodged a bullet. Meanwhile, I'm telling everyone at the show that I think I have COVID. That's why I look so bad. So instead of being like, everybody obviously knows, I can't even speak. I'm slurring my fucking words so bad, and I don't want anybody to know that I'm drunk. So I say, I think I might have COVID. Because that's what people want to hear when they're coming up to your art table.
Did people like immediately leave after you said that?
I think. I have no recollection of that. This day is a blur.
Oh, no! You don't even remember that?
No. And then later on that night, I ran out of alcohol and I was like, you have to take me to get booze. And she was like, no. And I was like, okay, you're right. Take me to Wawa and I'll get a sandwich, knowing that the liquor store is across the street from Wawa. So I get out of the car and I'm like, I'm going to the fucking liquor store, bitch. Like, you idiot.
Wow.
And I'm like, you can either wait here and take me back home or I'll fucking walk back home. And she was like, I'll see you at home then, I guess, and leave me there. So I go and get my stuff and I'm walking back, miles back to my fucking place, and it's hot as fuck. And I'm like sending all these texts, like, how could you fucking leave me here? Like, And she's like, I will come back and pick you up, but you cannot put that stuff in my car. You cannot bring the booze with you. And I'm like, well, fuck you. I'll just walk. So I end up walking back home. I miss work the next day. My mom shows up in a panic and comes into my apartment, which is unlocked, and there's bottles everywhere, and I'm a fucking train wreck. And she's like, don't you have to watch Nick's cats? Where are your keys? And I can't find my keys. And I'm like, I don't know where they are. So she brings my spare key. And then she's like, wait a minute. I'm not giving this key to you. You're like fucked up. So I like run out after her and I'm like, give me my fucking key. She's like, no. So she gets in her car and I pull her car door handle and I'm trying to get my fucking key out of her hand. Awful, awful stuff.
Wow.
So she leaves in a mess and then nobody talks to me for a couple days and I'm like, I have to go back to rehab.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. I like how you said this is a bad introduction to Kelly. Really, I would say this is a bad introduction to you.
yes, you're right.
For those of you Kelly don't know sounds me, like she did the all the right things.
So all Kelly did was take care of me during this time. All she did was take care of me, poured out all my vodka, took my keys, literally tried to keep me alive for 3 days while I'm being the worst. Oof. And then what do? On Tuesday, I give her a call and I say, hey, can you take me to rehab? And she takes me to rehab. So, on the way to rehab, I decide, last time I went to rehab, I was sober, and that was bullshit. I'm going to get fucked up before I go in this time.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
I am really, really drunk when she picks me up, and I have a water bottle and then a glass jar, both full of vodka, and I drink both of them on the way
just
to rehab.
Just vodka?
Just vodka. No mixer, just vodka. I was like, I'm going to get fucked up. I'm just going to drink a bottle, a handle of vodka, and I'm going to rehab. I'm going to do it right.
Wow.
So I have no recollection of this. So I black out. She gets me to rehab. And they're like, we can't take him. He's going to die. You have to take him to the hospital.
He has to detox.
And she's like,
first.
I don't even know where I am. Like, so some poor CA comes out and is like, follow me. And she takes me to the hospital not far from the treatment center. And I won't get out of the car. And they have to lure me out with like a cigarette kind of thing. And then I'm smoking in front of the hospital. I'm getting yelled at.
Sorry.
So I end up being in this hospital for 7 hours to detox, shot up full of Ativan, and I wake up and I'm like cuffed to the bed and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why, what, you know, and she's like, well, all this stuff happened and now we have to go to Miramont. So hours later, I finally get into treatment and
word to the wise, it doesn't actually make sense to go to rehab drunk as fuck because they're just going to send you to detox.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Maybe you want to have a beer on the way in or something. But don't get
this fucked up. They'll just hospitalize you and then you'll be so cranky by the time you get to rehab.
Don't drink a handle of vodka in the 20-minute drive on the way to your rehab after drinking all morning. Don't do it. So I almost died. It was awful. Rehab sucked. I ended up having to leave. I decided I'm going to go to a halfway house. It's my only shot. All I can do is go to a halfway house. Nobody wants me. Nobody loves me. My family hates me. I'm going to lose my apartment. I'm sure I lost my job. Everything is fucked. I have to go to a halfway house. So I get into this house in Coatesville, PA, and it's like it's on a farm, and it's a bunch of older dudes, and it's not like a city place, and it's better, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck it. Okay. So I get there, and there's like 25 dudes in this house, like theater seating, and like nobody will talk to me. I'm like trying to like introduce myself or like be like, and it's like really clicky in places like that. It takes a while to get like, you know.
Yeah.
Feet wet and like you have to kind of, I don't know, it's weird. I you know, so I'm trying. And it's all men. Talking to me.
And
all
I know how you, that is
I'm
for you.
Freaked out. And these are like rough looking dudes and I'm like no judgment, but like this shit scares me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right, you can do this for a week. You can do this for a week. You can do this for a week. So I go in, I talk to the guy, your room's downstairs. Okay. I pay my rent for the week. And then these two dudes kind of get into it next to me. Not like a fight, but like weird stuff. Like this dude's telling the other dude to call him daddy and stuff. And I was like, I'm leaving. That's it. I can't stay here. I had just unpacked all my stuff. And I go downstairs to my room. And I packed all my bags back up. And I put them under my bed because I wanted to go to sleep because I was exhausted. I went to sleep, set my alarm for like really early. Got up at like 5 a.m., grabbed my bags, called an Uber, and got the fuck out of there. So I was there for like one night and left. So I was like, keep my deposit, whatever. And then I start talking to this girl again, and she's like, just come out here. Just come out here.
God, I forgot that this hasn't even happened yet. Oh my God.
So we like sort of broke up, and then we didn't, and then it was okay. And I talked to her in rehab, and we did like a Zoom call, like, you know, and all this stuff. And she's like, yeah, everything's cool. Just like come here. And I'm telling my counselors this, and they're like, are you fucking crazy? My counselors are like, what? You know, because I'm very honest. I'm not going to like lie about what's going on. Like, no,
that would have been my reaction. Like, I'd have been like,
no,
what are you doing?
Wait, what? So all my counselors are like, Jesus Christ, this is a terrible idea. I mean, yeah. I don't even know what you're talking. This is just terrible.
100,000%.
So I don't listen to anybody, and I fucking do my own thing, and I leave, and I decide on July 3rd that I'm going out to Illinois. I'm going out there. Not like I wasn't leaving. I was going out there for like a couple weeks just to get set up and everything. Sure. And then I was just going to kind of come back and grab my shit and go forever.
Oh, but you wanted to leave. That was your plan, was to move there.
Yeah, nobody. It was my only option. I was like, all my friends hate me. My family hates me. Nobody wants to talk to me. Spencer's gone. Everything is over. I can't even. God. I don't even know where to start to repair this stuff. So I'm like, I'm out. Yeah. Starting a new life. And this girl's rich. That's why she's rich, this girl. She's got a great job. She's got money. And she's like, all you have to do is come out here. You don't have to work. You can just paint all fucking day. And you don't have to work. And I will take care of everything. And I have a car you can use. And I have everything you could ever want. You don't need anything. I just need you to come out here. So I go out there. And I'm like, all right. I tell my brother. I tell Carl.
How did he react?
He's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going out where? Like, are you sure? Like, like, you know. Everybody that I tell is like, are you fucking kidding? So I go out there. And it's like weird. You know, it's 4th of July is the next day, and she gets us all matching t-shirts, like for the 4th of July. Like we all have these like matching 4th of July t-shirts.
Nope.
So there's like existing pictures somewhere of like me, this girl, and this kid, all in like 4th of July Old Navy shirts.
Oh, we're like going to find that picture.
And everybody in Illinois is like, oh my God, you guys look great. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, and I'm going to meetings out there, and I'm like, I just tell people that I'm from Philly, and they're like, you're from Philly? Like, you know, it's like this like fucking hick
New York
Midwest
City.
Town. Yeah, right. Isn't it crazy there? They're like, no. So
right, because I was under the impression she was in like Chicago proper, not like somewhere in Illinois.
Nah, girl. Rockford, girl. You ever see A League of Their Own?
I haven't, but I can picture it. Yeah, that's
middle of Illinois.
Ooh, that's bleak. And
It's about an hour of where Spencer's from. So it's weird that I'm finding these girls creepy. Within an hour from each other in the middle of the country.
Yeah. What's that about?
So literally this girl lives in the town that Spencer's grandmother lives in. So the whole time I'm out there, I'm like, I'm going to bump into Spencer's grandmother. Literally like, you know, at fucking Walmart or something.
In your matching 4th of July t-shirts.
Yeah. In our matching gear.
Jesus Christ.
So the first couple of days are okay, and then stuff just starts to get weird. Like I feel weird there, and I feel like I'm not like, I don't know. Everything just feels weird and wrong and off, and I'm insecure, and I'm like, and still the sex stuff is weird, and I can't get comfortable, and like everything is just like building and piling, and like eventually we get into this fight. This is like midweek, and I'm like, you know what? You don't even know what love is, or something like that. I said something. I'm like, you don't know. You didn't want me here. I'm just going to leave tomorrow. Like, I don't think I should be here anymore. This just like is not working. This is not what I want. None of this feels right. I think this is just like not going to be a thing.
Side note, were you drinking or using anything at this point?
We're getting there. So at this point, still no. And then we get to this like kind of nasty fight, and she goes to bed. Also, so the sleeping situation at night is me, her, and her son in the same bed. So I'm sleeping in a bed with a new person who I don't know and her 4-year-old son. Isn't that weird? I mean, I don't know.
What?
Yeah. Like literally
why?
A queen size bed and the three of us every night. We slept in the bed together.
Why didn't her son have his own? Did he have his own bed?
He sleeps with her. Yes, but he sleeps with her. And now I sleep with her. So we all sleep together.
Listen, there's lots of things about like co-sleeping and like parents or whatever, but the point is you don't know them. Like, you barely know. Like, that's the weird part to me. Like, that's not really great, I don't think.
Right. So it's weird. And I'm like, why would you? I don't know. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm not absolving myself. I was like, I didn't do anything wrong and I was manipulated and like, blah, blah, blah. But like, I think if I had a child, that would be weird to be like, come live here and sleep in bed. Like, this kid doesn't even know me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This kid right away forms like an attachment to me. Like, I'm like, you know.
Christ.
And I'm freaking out. Also, I can't stand 4-year-old boys. Ugh. Like, I can't stand them. It's my fucking nightmare. And I hate this kid. And I'm like, ugh.
Oh, no. So you don't form a bond back. It doesn't happen where you're like, oh, this kid's great.
I'm having a hard time.
Oh,
smashing the hammer against the thing for the 10th. You know what I mean? Just the, I can't do the blow up this balloon again. No! You know, just, I can't stand it. and I'm also in a bad place. I've been out of rehab for a cup of coffee. I've just relapsed. My life is on fire. And I'm
all bad, all the way. Everything.
So that night, she goes to bed and I walk to the gas station because they got booze at the gas station in Illinois. And I pick up 2 pints of vodka. And I'm like, fuck it. Everything sucks.
Back to basics.
So I get hammered and I get really drunk. Like, I throw up outside and like, I go along the neighborhood and try to hide these bottles. And I'm like listening to music and I'm like, I don't know. And then I end up going to sleep and I wake up the next morning and we kind of make up and she doesn't know anything. So I'm like, okay, maybe it was just like a one-time thing. So what? Mm-hmm. So I picked up a drink last night. It's happened recently before. I'm going to try this again. So we start over, we try it again. And then like, something happens and we get into it again and I decide to drink again. So I pick up again and I throw all these like empty vodka bottles in her yard. But like, you know, those, you know, like if you have a basement and there's like the window and there's like that well that protects the windows, whatever those things are called. I was throwing them in there. Yes. Yep. I think I wanted to get caught maybe. So I throw them in there.
Yeah. It's not. Great place.
And then the next day I go off to like an AA meeting and I'm drinking again and in her car, just driving around Illinois drinking in some fucking chick's Escalade and like whatever.
Oh my God.
And then I get a text from her. Yes. Then I get a text from her with a picture of the bottles. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe you fucking did this. I want you out of my house. I'm taking my son. And when I get back, I don't want you to be there. And I'm like, fuck you.
Wow.
She's like, I'll call the police. And I'm like, call the fucking police then because I'm not going anywhere.
Oh,
and I crawl into bed to take a nap because I've been drinking all day. And I get woken up by 2 cops. And they're like, you need to get up and you're coming with us. And I was like, well, I'm like all disoriented. I'm like, wait, what? What?
Oh.
And they're like, she called us and she doesn't want you here and you have to leave. You can't be here now. And so I'm all disoriented. I just woke up. I'm trying to frantically grab my belongings. And I walk out of the bedroom and she's in the kitchen and I look at her and I go, you're here? Like, oh my God. Like, I had no idea she was even there. I was like, oh, you're here? So I get dropped off at a bus station and I have no idea what's going on. I don't know where this bus is going or why I'm at a bus station. And I'm like, okay, I'm able to deduce that it's going to the airport. And I'm like, to the airport/a hotel. So she had like booked me a hotel room and kind of like set it up. I don't even know. So I'm on this bus.
Oh, so she, she sent you somewhere.
Yes. So I'm on a bus heading to the airport, I think. So I call Spencer and I start sobbing on the phone. I'm like, I have no idea where the fuck I am or like where the fuck I'm going. I'm like on some bus and like all these people are looking at me. I mean, I'm like a mess. I'm just crying. And like, she's like, all right, get to the airport and like take a lift to the hotel and like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I eventually get situated and I get a lift and I get to this hotel that I'm supposed to be at. And of course I walk in and I'm like, where's your bar? And they're like, well, we don't have a bar here. I'm like, well, where's the closest bar?
I was going to ask, were you still drunk when the police woke you up and you got on the bus?
I was. So I was very disoriented. So this whole time I'm trying to like, I'm still drunk, but I'm trying to. So by the time I got to my hotel, I was ready for another drink for sure. I was ready to keep it going. So I go to this bar and I just start drinking and I FaceTime Spencer. And I'm like, oh, can you believe this? What a nightmare. I can't believe I fucked all this stuff up. I'm coming home tomorrow. Like, you know, we're just old friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, doing shots and drinking beers and just being all fucking blah, blah, blah. And then I order food. I go to the bathroom and I come back and I'm like, can I get another whatever the fuck I was drinking? And they're like, no. We're just going to like bring out your sandwich. And like, and I was like, yeah, but can I just get one more round? And they were like, really nice. They're like, no, but like, here's your food. And like, we got you a ride. And like, I was like, can I just get another round? And they were like, no. And I like didn't understand. And I'm like, what the
fuck? This isn't how a bar works.
And I get a ride back to my hotel from some guy. I have no idea what's happening. And I find out Spencer like found out where I was, literally, called this bar, had me flagged from Philly or Delaware, wherever the fuck she was.
Yeah.
I fall asleep that night.
I heard about.
That's too. A good one, right? That's a good one.
It's fun to hear about it from Spencer's point of view. Because also Spencer's from the Midwest, and so she calls and puts on her like thick Midwest charm to the bartender.
Yes. She's like, do you have a shady East Coast sounding Italian guy at the bar?
Yeah.
Flag him.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently the lady called her back and was like, we gave him a sandwich and we're sending him home. And like
And then I tried to bounce on my check kind of thing. I tried to play like I was too drunk and didn't realize that the check was there. They were like, whoa, like before I left. And I was like, I know, right? I'm the worst.
You're worth trying. You know, worth giving it a shot.
Worth a shot, right?
Yeah.
So I go to sleep at, I don't know, 2 a.m. and I have to be up at 5:30 for my flight back home. I set my alarm. I wake up. I'm running late. I call another Lyft. I spent all my money on fucking Lyfts out there.
Oh my God.
And I get to the airport and I have about 40 minutes before my flight. So I'm late. But I'm like, it's fine. Everybody fucking over exaggerates when they say, like, get there 2.5 hours before. I'm like, shut the fuck up. So I get to O'Hare and I walk in and it's like the scene in Home Alone when like everybody's in the airport and like there are 5,000 people on the ground level in front of me and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm in trouble. Also, it's a miracle that I was able to catch a plane to and from another place. I have no idea how to do this. This girl bought my ticket, sent me the screenshot of the ticket, told me what I was like, how do I get on a plane? I haven't been on a plane since 2012, and every time I've been on a plane, it was with somebody who like bought my ticket and was like, let's go this way. And now you give that. I'm never by myself. I'm not a responsible adult who flies. So it's a miracle. And I somehow get on this plane. I make my plane just like by 5 minutes and I fucking sleep the whole way home. And then I get home and I'm walking up to my steps and I see a water bottle. It's the water bottle that I had in Kelly's car that was full of vodka. And I can tell that there are dead flowers in it and there's something written on the bottle. And I walk up and I pick it up and it's like, why would you ever want to forget about me? Like, lame and like all this stuff. And these flowers have definitely been there for like a week. And I'm like, oh, fucking Kelly. You know, I get back from all this and I'm like, oh, Kelly's still here. And we'll get more into that like as time goes on. Because that's like, sure. You know, that's a thing now. Now Kelly and I are in a very serious relationship, living at my mom's house. She has two kids. There's kids here. I'm like, you know, my life is completely different. And we'll get into all that. But it just... I don't know. It was a weird, weird bottom. When I got back home, I was like completely broken. My mom did not want to talk to me after all the stuff that happened. Nick still doesn't want to talk to me.
Still?
No, Nick and I don't speak. Nick doesn't come over when I'm here. You know, I've ruined like a lot of stuff and it's going to take a lot of time to fix some of that shit. But this is the only person that, you know, was there for me throughout all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean people didn't try to. Don't take that the wrong way. It's not like, you know, Spencer was never there for me or like my mom was never there for me or like that's not what I mean. Yeah. Everybody has always been there for me and tried to help me in any way possible. But when I came back and I had literally nothing and nobody, she was there. And we, you know, kind of picked it up from there and I spent another week drinking kind of thing till I ran out of money. I was like, I'm just going to drink for one more week till my money's gone. And then we'll see what happens, you know, and I had nothing, you know, after that week, I was like, can you buy me like a jar of peanut butter and like a loaf of bread kind of thing, you know, and like a pack of cigarettes, and there's, you know, there's more detail in that and all kinds of stuff. I think I'll stop there for right now because that just kind of catches up a good chunk of time.
Holy shit.
And that only brings us up to like late July. And I'm sure I missed a bunch of stuff. That's literally like, you know, that's late July. So yeah, lots to unpack there. A lot of stuff.
Damn.
It was a really terrible first part of summer. You know, we'll do part two of summer later where it got much better and things have really been on track since then. And I haven't picked up a drink since July 23rd.
Congrats, you know, man. That's great.
Like things are good. You know, things aren't perfect. And I won't sit here and be like, everything is great. And I'm really working a program and I figured it all. It's nothing like that. Everything I thought was right. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I don't know. There's a lot more. There's a lot more involved. So,
life is rarely a montage like in a movie, and then everything's like happily ever after, you know? Right. Like
never.
It's just not the way it goes.
Not it, you know?
There's no conclusion until you're dead.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's it.
So I'm gonna keep plugging away until then. Until I'm dead. Yeah. We'll be doing Shamecast until then.
Living life until we're dead. We didn't say who we were at the top of this at all.
I started to remember, and then you. I was trying to be.
Did
like,
I cut you off?
About, I don't know. I don't want to say that.
It's a show about shame and guilt and other garbage emotions. And
I'm AJ. And I'm wrong. All right, we're working on that.
Perfect. Wow, we are rusty.
I know. Yeah. That's fair enough, though.
It's fine.
For a little while. Yeah.
You should if there's other things I say at the end. Oh, right. Yeah. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at shamecast.official@gmail.com. Please send us an email because
or a message.
Obviously we want Whatever. You to. Hit us I don't up. Think that We're we back. Need to say anything more about that. Just fucking do it. What the yeah. fuck? And then I haven't been on my art page in ages, but I am on Instagram at Brahman_Gale_art. I forgot what it was.
Oh my God. Jesus. I saw you like kind of stall there for a minute.
Yeah. What the fuck is yours?
I'm also still on Instagram, which I have not been. I haven't painted anything new in a while, but it's still up there.
Yeah.
It's AJ_Stallone_art.
But yeah, we love you all. We're going to be back maybe.
And we are.
All the things. Good night and good luck.
Yes.
Again.
All right. We love you all. We'll be back. I promise.
Bye.
Bye.